Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and welcome to the Goody Reader Radio Show. Welcome back, everybody, to the Goody Reader Radio Show. My name is Michael Kozlowski. It's February the 23rd, 2012. It's been a super crazy, busy time around here for us all. The BlackBerry Playbook OS 2 update just came out, and this is gripping the world by storm. It's, in my opinion, making the BlackBerry Playbook relevant again with a native email client, revised calendar, contact list that taps into Twitter and social feeds, and I think it's damn fine. One of the benefits is that now you can load in Android apps to the Playbook. Now, it's not as cut as dry as just copying an APK file, which is an Android installation file that you may find online, and just copy and paste it to your Playbook. On the back end, you have to convert those files to exclusive BlackBerry format. It's not for everybody. What we've done is we've added a BlackBerry Playbook section to our own Goody Reader App Store. And this is something that we have been doing for the last few months. And with the BlackBerry Playbook section, we have converted a bunch of Android apps over to the Playbook format. And we've also tested them. So we have a Playbook here in the office. Basically, we will convert an Android file to the BlackBerry format, sign it with our digital signature with the BlackBerry developer tools, and then offer it for free for you guys to download. Of course, we only offer free apps. We don't have any paid or pirated apps or anything like that, so you don't have to keep asking us for them. The essence of it is we have about 25 apps, mainly focusing on e-reader apps, Kindle, Eldeco, Moon Plus Reader, and a bunch of comic book reading applications, as well as essential applications, Flickr, Amazon MP3, Overdrive, Google Voice, Google Maps, and a ton of others. We do offer an essential download that you must do, and we filmed actually a few video tutorials that document the entire process of setting up your playbook and what you have to do on that level, and then once you fire up your PC, exactly what you have to do on your PC. I won't rehash what the videos go over, but they are very comprehensive. Both of them are 10 minutes each. The first one teaches you everything you have to do, and then a follow-up video we did, which was basically answer a lot of user questions. A lot of people have been commenting on our blog, on our app store, sending us emails and communicating with us via Twitter and asking us a lot of questions. After a while, a lot of the same questions were asked, and so we more or less answered them in our follow-up video. So needless to say, the last 24 hours have been really busy for us with the whole playbook rigmarole. But there is a lot of news that's happened, and it's the news really that we want to bring you guys up to date. But first of all, since we're talking about the Goody Reader App Store, we just released the final version of our Goody Reader Android app. And this is an application that you can install on any smartphone or tablet. It's more geared towards e-reading devices, such as the Amazon Kindle Fire, Penn Digital Novel, Kobo Vox, and many other tablets that are billed as e-readers. But once you buy them, they actually don't really have a lot of alternative programs that you can find. The Kobo Vox has the GetJar market. The Penn Digital Novel is shipped with the Kobo app. But if you want other apps like the Kindle app, the Nook, Sony, or a lot of independent apps, you're more or less out of luck. So we created our app store to kind of fill that void, and we've made an actual client that you can install on any device. You can install applications when new versions are available. It gives you a little notification in the update area, and then you could simply copy over the old app with the new one. You could leave comments, starred ratings. There is a lot of cool features found in there, and user response has been really great. A lot of people have said that it's a very well designed app, and it has certainly everything a reader could really ever ask for. So you can download our revised client app from our app store at goodyreader.com/apps. Pocketbook is in trouble, folks. You may have heard of them, you may have not. They're a company that's been around for about 4 years, and I think the company is in trouble. We have sources in the company that we've been in contact with, and not only are they experiencing a tremendous lack of revenue coming in, but new products are being pushed back, and the company is in mad financial trouble. The first signs really started occurring towards about the end of last year, when going up until the November-December season, usually it's very strong for tech companies. It was not strong for Pocketbook. Going into 2012, they, for the first time in many years, did not attend CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and that popped warning signs when a company that's been around for a while is no longer going to a lot of the industry events. It raises warning flags. We've talked to sources within Pocketbook in the last few days, and they've told us that, you know, within the last few months, they've only sold 20 units. They're finding it very hard to compete with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo that offer a wide range of lower-end devices. So you can get a Kindle as low as $79 for the base model, and then you can pay extra for Wi-Fi, 3G, advertising models, non-advertising models. The Nook has different, you know, tablets, e-readers all across the price points as well, and Kobo does it too. And if you're a company trying to compete with those three companies, you're going to find your head below water quicker rather than later. And that's what Pocketbook is doing right now. They're literally drowning, mainly because a lot of their devices sell for about $180 to about $500. And most people have never even heard of them before. So why would they take a chance on a company that doesn't advertise, has no presence in the retail environment, and is only an online-based company. It's very hard for people to even be aware of them, much less actually support the company and to continue to buy their products. There is a small minority of people that are loyal Pocketbook users, but for the mainstream audience, they've never heard of them. Pocketbook does no advertising at all. They're a very hard company to do business with. Their products are very expensive, and their ecosystem sucks. If you've ever checked out Book World on any of the e-readers or tablets that they offer, they're basically about 60 to 70 books in many different languages, but they're just open source books that you would find anywhere online, including Project Gutenberg. So I think that Pocketbook, especially their North American distribution arm, Pocketbook USA, is going to be dead by the end of the year. The company is basically staying afloat by selling other people's e-readers through their various online stores. They currently are in negotiations as a company to companies in China, and what their intention is to buy very, very low-end e-readers, rebrand it as Pocketbook e-readers, and then sell them anywhere from $75 to $120. So they're hoping to compete at least on a lower financial end. Whether the whole deal pans out remains to be seen. To place orders, usually you have to order a few hundred to a few thousand units, and looking into cost, generally it costs about $60,000 to about $300,000 just to get the bare minimum that a factory will actually make for you. So I think the company is probably going to die off by the end of 2012, but I hope I'm pleasantly surprised, because indie companies, I think, should be supported. When you have just a small private company that's been in the business for so long, it's kind of sad to see them go, although many European companies such as Cooler, which they've also been around for a long time, they actually went bankrupt, and as well as B-Book is currently in trouble as well. So that's it for that sort of news. There is a little bit of other things floating around the ecosystem right now. It seems that developers are actually making more money in the Amazon App Store than they are in the official Google market. A company named Distimo has put out a very large report, and they've basically said that they've polled about 110 applicants, and most of them generated more revenue on the Amazon store than they did on the official Google market. They saw roughly about 28% more revenue generated on the App Store than they did on the official Google market. A lot of them are saying that it's spurred because of the Kindle Fire. You can check out the full report. I'm not doing it really justice talking about it, but you know, basically from November to January, it's growing exponentially. Amazon has a really firm control over their market. They have, you could think of them as an Apple-esque type of gatekeeper, where it's not easy to submit apps to them. Same with the Barnes & Noble Android App Store. They're physically reviewed by a person, whereas with submitting apps to GetJar to the official Android market, there's actually no real people that verify your app. Anybody can install whatever they want and upload whatever they want, and you have to filter through a mountain of shit in order to actually find anything, you know, valid. Whereas the Amazon market is quickly becoming a lot more popular, not only with Kindle Fire users, but Android users in general that are installing the Amazon market on their tablet that may not even have an app store that it ships with, just because it installs literally on any device. If you're based in the US, it's pretty easy to download any type of content from there. So it's certainly on the rise. Mobile World Congress is coming up pretty shortly. I believe it's starting next week, and you can expect a lot of tablet, smartphone, and a lot of electronics news coming out of there. There'll be a Freescale, Google, and a literal blogger army that's going to be showing up there. So you may want to stay tuned for our blog for all the latest news there. If you are a Barnes & Noble fan, they have just released an 8 gig version of the Nook tablet. This is everything that you would expect out of the Nook tablet, but with a few diminished specs. The regular Nook tablet retails for, you know, a respectable fee. You're looking at about $249. The 8-gig model is only $199, which puts it on par with the Kindle Fire and a Kobo Vox. It has basically 512 MB of RAM instead of 1 gig, but it features the same 1 gig dual core processor, the same, it's basically the same hardware. The only thing that's really changed is the RAM and the amount of internal memory, although internal memory is still not a big issue because you can increase it via the micro SD card. We do have some other stories that we're following up for later today, and I'll kind of give you a bit of an indication on what it's all about. Amazon has taken down 5,000 books by the Independent Publishers Group. They basically couldn't come to an agreement on wholesale rates. Amazon, for the last 4 or 5 months, has been a little bit more cutthroat in the way that it deals with wholesale companies. It's mainly because of the agency model, where publishers have traditionally in the last year or two have started to dictate the price on ebooks, and this promotes a level playing field, so most companies can sell the books for the same price and no one company is undercutting the competition. The whole, if you're not like totally familiar with this whole story, basically Amazon rose to prominence because they made their business with ebooks of undercutting all of the competition. When Apple came onto the scene, they colluded with a lot of major publishers to establish an agency model, which is basically the publishers determining the price of the book rather than the merchant determining the price of the book and then giving a royalties to the book companies. And so basically, Amazon still remains big, but if you've noticed that their ebook prices, they're pretty similar to Barnes & Noble. iBooks are a little bit more on the pricey side, but that's because Apple wants a bigger cut of the pie. Book companies have no problem with companies wanting to charge more money for their content, especially if they have a pretty money platform like Apple does. So basically, Amazon, to sort of skirt the agency model, is hardball dealing with a lot of wholesale companies and smaller publishing companies that don't have the type of clout that the big six do. If a Penguin took down all their books, that would be a ton of books. But with a company like the Independent Publishers Group, which basically don't account for a huge amount of sales in the Amazon ecosystem, when 5,000 of their books are taken down, it hurts the company. The Independent Publishing Group has said that 25% of all of their revenue comes from Amazon sales, so they're certainly going to feel the pinch in their pocket. This was basically a failure for the IPG and Amazon to come to any sort of agreement. It's pretty well unknown what their old agreement was, but the new agreement was significantly lower, and the Independent Publishing Group was basically, no, we want the old terms. Amazon was like, nope, you have to agree to our new terms or you're done. And in the past, it's a weird situation because it's not what the publishers could do for Amazon, it's what Amazon can do for the publishers now, and that's basically the essence of it. So it'll be interesting to see how this story plays out, if the Independent Publishing Group actually bows down and caves in. But from an email that the president of the Independent Publishing Group said, they're going to stand tall, and they've encouraged everybody to, you know, write to Amazon and say that this is unfair and you guys should reinstate the books. I don't really see any of that happening. It's really hard to like be a small company and try to do a grassroots movement against a very popular company that everyone wants to do business with. Time, it has stopped publishing new magazines and subscriptions to the HP touchpad. When HP TouchPad was first announced, Time was one of those people that were brought up to the center stage and show their commitment to the platform. Obviously, we know that the way that the platform went, within just a few months of being out, it was discontinued and put up for a fire sale for $99. And now WebOS is open source, and the company is not really directly supporting it anymore, although the odd firmware update has been put out. So Time is going to be able to, they're going to be pulling out all but three magazines. So you're not going to really have the wide selection that you used to, and then soon thereafter, they're going to pull out completely. So it's pretty well, your options are pretty limited on the touchpad. Although I would suggest dealing with a company like Zinio that are pretty popular with web-based subscriptions, and they're pretty committed to each individual platform. Lots of tablet news that's happened. Lots of leaked pictures of the new iPad. The Asus has launched the Transformer Prime boot unlock tool. The ViewSonic ViewPad G70 is set for a Mobile World Congress debut. Rumors and pictures of a new Huawei tablet or Huawei tablet have been coming out lately, so you want to check that out. Mercy Pilkington, one of our writers, has written a few articles lately on how publishers see the benefits of a 99-cent ebook rather than going the traditional, you know, $1.99 or more. It seems that most people would take a chance with an unknown writer for 99 cents, which is the minimum that Amazon charges, to, you know, take a peek and maybe tickle their fancy with something new. The Motorola Zoom 2 has launched in Australia, so if you live there, you should be able to get it. And in Sri Lanka, they have launched their first ebook store. And finally, it seems as though in India right now that the ebook world is starting to develop there. We'll report on that more in the week. So you're now caught up for the last few days of news in the digital publishing, ebook, and e-reader world. For goodyreader.com, my name is Michael, and everybody take care.